So I'm way more excited than I should be right now. I love travel logistics. And for the first time, I could fly to Green Bay direct. It is the biggest pain in the ass to get to Green Bay, Wisconsin, typically. But this is not typical. Thank you to Delta Airlines. They've added a direct flight leaving from San Jose a little bit after noon and going straight to Green Bay. There's going to be no Milwaukee, no Appleton, Wisconsin, no having to rent a car and then slide down the highway because it's negative 5 degrees. I mean, last time we went, it was so cold there, and that was one of the sketchiest drives ever. And I had to make it to Green Bay from Wisconsin, from Milwaukee, and then all the way back to Milwaukee. And it's just long, too. Even if the weather is good, it's just a long drive. So we've got a direct flight to Green Bay and a direct flight back, which is really nice during Thanksgiving week because you know how travel can be. Also, the fact that it happens to be from San Jose tends to work out since there's so many delays at San Francisco. Anyway, I just wanted to share that part of my morning that allows me to do this show. Otherwise, I would have had to wake up at like 6 a.m. and go through Denver or something only to be delayed. And yeah, it's just a lot easier when it's direct. The 49ers are playing the Packers in very, very inopportune conditions. Brock Purdy is out. That's their most important offensive player. Nick Bosa is out. I would say that's their most important defensive player. What's next? All of Twitter was melting down yesterday. I'm sure all of YouTube was melting down as well. We were out at Korean barbecue, so I really wasn't paying attention. I think that we ate something like between four of us guys, it was like 15 or 16 pounds of meat, but it was really good. Yakiniku, I think it's called. It's over in Japantown. So I wasn't really paying attention after a certain point last night. But I've seen some of the takes, and so many of them are just have completely punted on everything. I get it. The odds are stacked up against the 49ers. We have to ask the question, though. What if the 49ers beat the Packers? Because this is the NFL, and this is extremely unpredictable. And this is a 5.5 point spread. The last time I checked, it's not a 14 point spread. It's not a 20 point spread. It's not a 30 point spread. It's a 5.5 point spread. I have covered college football before. It all started for me covering Stanford back when Richard Sherman was there. We're the same age. So in 2007, I've seen a team that was a 41 point underdog win. Stanford was a 41-point underdog to USC in 2007. They won. That was on the road in the Coliseum. Anyway, I've done this for long enough to know that especially in the NFL, you can't predetermine what's going to happen in the game. You just can't. It's everybody on that field was the best or second best player on their college team. Unless they played for Alabama or Georgia, in which case they might have been the fourth or fifth best player on their college team. But with the talent being what it is in the NFL, regardless of who's playing quarterback, like anybody could beat anybody on any given day. That's why you see the very worst team still win, usually a handful of games per season. So it is entirely possible that the 49ers, especially with some of the weapons that they do have available, walk into Green Bay and win. Brandon Allen, for example, he's made 9 career starts. 3 of those 9 have been 99.0 rating or better. 2 of them have been a rating of better than 120, which is superb. If Brandon Allen goes out and delivers a quarterback rating of over 100, the 49ers will have a very solid chance to win this game. And he's done it in a third of his starts. So it's, you know, I think 49ers fans especially should remember what happened in 2022 when Brock Purdy came out of nowhere. Allen is 32, so this is not a 22-year-old QB coming out of college with an undefined ceiling. I think that we know what Brandon Allen's ceiling is going to be. He's not a mobile guy, but he's got a decent arm, and he has thrown for, what was it, 371 yards in a game for Cincinnati back against the Houston Texans. And he's a very specific track record, right? And I pointed it out. I wrote about it in the San Francisco Standard yesterday. The good starts for Brandon Allen have come against bad defenses. I think a lot of the 49ers' chances tomorrow come down to which Green Bay Packers defense shows up, just given the history of Brandon Allen. I'll show you guys right here. Let's get this up on the screen. We can take a look at the Brandon Allen 9 career starts. All right, behold. I put quarterback rating, and then I put the defensive EPA ranking of his opponent. So in 2019, he made 3 starts. In 2020, there are 5 more starts here. I wonder if I'm, yeah, that's 9. In 2021, there is 1 start. His very first start was that 125.6 rating. As you could see, it came against a bad defense, the number 22 Browns. In 2020, he faced the Texans and delivered a 126.5 rating. That was the 371-yard game. That was the number 31 defense. The week before, he had a good statistical game against the Cowboys, 99 rating, the number 21 defense. As you could see, when he played good defenses, the number 6 Vikings, the number 5 Bills in 2019, it was ugly. Those aren't good quarterback ratings. The Giants, mediocre defense, that wasn't a good game. The Dolphins, a little bit better rating here, but that was a good defense. And, you know, it needs to be over 80, I think, if the 49ers are going to win. But you never know. It could be unpredictable. Against Baltimore, that wasn't good. That was a whipping. Bengals did not perform well in that game against the Ravens, neither did Brandon Allen. And then his most recent start against the middling Browns defense, a middling performance, a 76.2 rating. I understand that this is a really rudimentary way of looking at things, but I wanted to see what the commonalities were between the good Brandon Allen starts, because just by rating, 3 of the 9 have been good. And I guarantee you, if Brandon Allen delivers a rating of 99, 126.5, or 125.6 against the Green Bay Packers tomorrow, you will be intrigued by this game. Those types of ratings would make this game at least close. I would say that a rating of over 120 would mean that the 49ers would probably win the football game. So if Brandon Allen has done it before, what will it take for him to do it again? And these ratings all came against bad defenses. So which Packers defense shows up? The Packers are number 10 EPA on defense overall this season. So that's a good defense that wouldn't give much confidence to Brandon Allen having a good game if we're going by the scale of good defense or bad defense. But over the past 3 games, over their most recent 3, the Packers are ranked number 29 defensively. They did not look great against the Chicago Bears, who have a bad offense. It came down to Green Bay blocking the field goal at the very end to escape with, what was that, their 10th straight win, 11th straight win over Chicago. They just keep on beating the Bears. Well, the 49ers aren't the Bears. The 49ers, actually, it's the inverse. They give the Packers a whole heck of a lot of trouble. The 49ers in the playoffs, what was it, the 2021 season, the postseason in the 2023 season. You go back to when all the players were different in the Harbaugh era. Well, also in the 2019 season, NFC Championship game. Harbaugh era, 2012, 2013. You have to go all the way back to the pre-TO catch 2, Brett Favre, Steve Young family fight rivalry for a time when Green Bay consistently had the upper hand over the 49ers. So this is an opportunity for Brandon Allen. It absolutely is. I estimated yesterday that if this game were played 10 times, tomorrow's game, the 49ers might win one or two of them. So the chances are not good for San Francisco, but a chance is still there to win. And it's fair to ask the question, what happens if they win? Because everybody's already completely written them off. I think this would send the biggest shock through the online ecosystem of 49ers talking heads that I've ever seen. The 49ers with a win would be 6-5. Their playoff probability would be over 50%. They would not, probably would not have to win in Buffalo next week to stay alive. As it stands right now, the most likely path of action is that the 49ers lose this game against Green Bay, and then Buffalo has a chance to deliver the kill shot next week. Because I don't think that they could statistically, record-wise, recover from three consecutive losses, including last week's loss to Seattle. In fact, it was hard to know at the time, right? Because you can't really predict a Brock Purdy injury, but this is why you don't want to lose games in which you're favored, especially to divisional opponents earlier in the season, because they lessen your margin for error later on. But that Seattle loss has gotten more and more crushing for the 49ers as the week progressed. So initially it was, okay, that's a bad loss to Seattle. Their division record is in a tough spot, but they're still only a game behind the Cardinals. They can still go out there, turn it on, make up some ground, and then they play Arizona in that final regular season game down in the desert. But when the Brock Purdy injury came through, and when he was ruled out yesterday for good, you look at the Seattle loss and you say, oh boy, all of a sudden, they're absolutely going to have to steal a game in Green Bay now, right? That they don't have probability on their side in Green Bay. And I don't think that they were ever going to be favored to win in Buffalo. At some point, maybe before the season started, the 49ers were favored to win in Buffalo when those future lines were set. But the way that things have been going over the first couple months of this year, it's been clear that Buffalo might be the best team in the league, at least one of the two or three best teams in the league, and the 49ers are dealing with a whole lot more than the Bills. So the Bills have turned into favorites in that game. So when the loss to Seattle was mixed in with the Purdy injury, all of a sudden, a win at either Green Bay or Buffalo went from being something that was a definite possibility for the 49ers to a complete long shot. So now I think it's more probable than any other outcome that the 49ers lose three straight games, that they have already lost Seattle, that they lose Green Bay, and they lose Buffalo, which made the Seattle game an absolute gut-wrencher for the 49ers to lose. That's one that, you know, in retrospect, maybe they should have put all chips in the middle of the table to win that game. You never know. You know, by that, I'm saying George Kittle, was he close to playing? I think that they were trying to preserve George Kittle for later in the season. Hindsight's 20/20, though. You can't tell what's going to happen. You don't have the knowledge that you need to make the perfect decision sometimes when you enter a game. Kittle wanted to avoid the 4-6 week hamstring pull with the hamstring tightness that he was experiencing. So he didn't play against the Seattle Seahawks. I thought Kyle Shanahan made the mistake of trying to put a tight end in for an offensive lineman in for George Kittle at tight end. And I think that severely limited what the 49ers passing game was able to do. So Trent Williams did push through it though. So you look at everything that happened, the 49ers did their best to try to win that game against Seattle on the offensive line from the Trent Williams standpoint, but they just couldn't get it done. And it turned into one of the more damaging regular season losses that we've seen in quite some time. So that set it up for this moment right here, which is the absolutely pivotal moment in terms of probability for the playoffs. And the line has grown from 49ers as what, 1-point underdogs, the Packers as 5.5-point favorites. in this game. And Sam, I don't think that the 49ers are relying on a complete miracle, but I think that they are relying on a very specific course of events to go their way. There are some tendencies that suggest that it could be possible. One of them is Jordan Love. He's thrown 11 interceptions already this season. His interception rate is 4.3%, which is absolutely horrendous. If you look at INT rates across the league, there are only two qualifying quarterbacks who have been worse than Jordan Love in terms of interception rate: Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. So he's given the ball away a lot more than last year. Last year, Jordan Love had 11 picks, threw 11 of them in 17 games. This year, he's thrown 11 of them in just 8 games. So the interception rate has gone up from like 1.7, 1.8% to 4.3%. That's a huge difference. If the 49ers are to win, they're going to have to score a couple cheap ones in the turnover column. That's the way that I look at this. Now, again, I don't think that the Packers are a world-beating team. They're 7-3, but the defense over the past three games has been down at number 29, and Jordan Love has thrown all these interceptions. I do think, though, that Green Bay is in a position where if they hold serve, if they play a nice conservative game plan, hold on to the football, keep everything in front of them regarding what the 49ers do, I think that they have the talent advantage to win this game. So I even though that Green Bay is vulnerable in at least some ways, I don't think that they're that vulnerable that a clean game would endanger them. I think if they play a clean game, they're fine. So the 49ers do have to find a way to put that Jordan Love 4.3% interception rate number in play. They do have to find a way to get a couple of those cheap turnovers in this game. The funny thing is, I call them cheap turnovers, but they might be expensive to manufacture if you're the 49ers. If I'm the Packers, I play this game fairly conservatively. I put the onus on Brandon Allen and the 49ers offense, which might also be missing Trent Williams, to either string together long drives where the probability of something going wrong is very high, or occasionally if you play a smart, aggressive game as Green Bay's defense, you force an explosive play, you force Brandon Allen to go out of structure and do something that I don't think that you bet on him to do over and over and over again. That's the Green Bay strategy in this game. But when we look at the 49ers in the opposite direction when they face Jordan Love, no Nick Bosa is, I mean, that's the pass rush. That's what delivers the pressure that should yield the interceptions, right? Bosa's delivered over 30% of the 49ers' pressures this season. It's really, really hard to see the 49ers putting Jordan Love in a position of discomfort without upping their blitz rate in this game. They've blitzed only 16% of the time this season. That's number 31 out of 32 teams. The 49ers' actual blitzing has been relatively ineffective this year. They're bottom five of efficiency EPA generated when Nick Sorensen has dialed up a blitz. So extra pressure just really hasn't been worth it for the 49ers this year. But they might have to bring extra pressure in this game. Green Bay typically has a good offensive line. They rank number 7 in pass blocking efficiency this year. So you have a solid offensive line. This goes back all the way to the Rodgers years. You have a 49ers defense missing Nick Bosa that has generated over 30% of its pressures from Nick Bosa. So all of a sudden that, and no Javon Hargrave either, right? That's a huge loss within the context of the Bosa loss, because Hargrave was their best interior pass rusher. So they're down their best interior and exterior pass rushers. And it's a defense that hasn't been successful blitzing. So what do the 49ers do? I think that unless they are able to completely break tendency and make splashes with the blitz, confuse Jordan Love with the blitz, force their one or two turnovers that way, they're going to have to create schematic hell on the back end. This is going to be about disguising coverages, mixing things up with the safeties and the cornerbacks, going from zone to man and hiding it pre-snap, doing stuff that, you know, recognizing that Jordan Love might have time in the pocket, but covering so well that he doesn't have room for a completion, or B, tries to force a completion, and this is the better outcome for the 49ers. They're able to get a turnover out of it. Can the coverage be the locomotive that pulls the train for San Francisco? Again, I'm just giving you guys the numbers. 11 interceptions this year. That has been the weakness for the Green Bay Packers offense, but they have a good offensive line, and the 49ers have gotten so much pressure from Nick Bosa, and he's not going to play. So I look at the 49ers defense, and I say, well, their defensive backfield, their secondary, especially the cornerback room, has been the best unit of this defense. Especially if we take Nick Bosa away from the front. Fred Warner hadn't been nearly as good as he was prior to the injury when he was playing at that defensive player of the year level. It's been the secondary. It's been the defensive backs. The strength and the depth of that unit has been the leader for the 49ers on that side of the ball. And they're going to have to probably be the leader again in this game. This is one of those games where you say, okay, the 49ers added Brandon Staley to the defensive staff over the offseason. He works primarily with the defensive backs. He loves adaptability on the back end. They've wanted his schematic input on how the 49ers defense is going to evolve with its DBs. He's somebody that's coached Jalen Ramsey in the past. I talked about the star position, Ramsey playing outside and inside for the Rams. That's what Diomedre Lenore does for the 49ers now. Anyway, you got an experienced voice who has worked with defensive backs at a very high level and has obviously yielded some solid results for the 49ers DBs so far this year. This is a game where the Brandon Staley influence really, really needs to shine for the 49ers if they're going to have a chance in this football game. So I look at that as the 49ers' one narrow path to victory in this game is creating turnovers, probably with the back end, since it's hard to see the pass rush getting what it needs to without some true manufacturing, right? And once you start manufacturing a lot with the pass rush, you're opening stuff on the back end, and it could actually be harder to get interceptions. So maybe they just decide to drop into coverage. Maybe they decide to make this an ultimate coverage game and see if that goads Jordan Love into some mistakes. Offensively, you cannot lose sight of the fact that you do have Christian McCaffrey available. You do have Kittle available this time. You do have Juwan Jennings available. You do have Deebo Samuel available. I understand that Deebo Samuel has not put up big numbers so far this season, but all hands have to be on deck if you're the 49ers. And that is not a poor selection of skill position weapons. So they're not working with a barren cupboard in that regard. It's about distribution for Brandon Allen. Get the ball to the playmakers and work. The Packers are a middling defense when it comes to how they take on the run. The EPA this year has been about number 17 or 18 for Green Bay. If Kyle Shanahan had his way, Christian McCaffrey would run the ball 28 times in this game for 250 yards, and it'd be like the 2019 NFC Championship game where Green Bay couldn't stop Raheem Mostert. It would just be pound the rock over and over again, and you know, maybe a very slight passing counterbalance. It's unrealistic to go into any football game expecting that. The 49ers fired on all cylinders when it came to the run game in that 2019 NFC title, and the results were epic. I think that, you know, Matt LaFleur, after that happened to his defense, went to great lengths to ensure that it wouldn't happen again. And it hasn't happened again. The 49ers had a lot tougher time moving the ball against Green Bay last year. But Christian McCaffrey did explode for a huge touchdown run in the third quarter. He obviously then punched it in for the go-ahead score late in the game. Controlling the game on the ground, to me, will be of utmost importance if the 49ers are going to find this really narrow path to victory, because you keep the defense off the field. And even if you have a couple of explosive scores in this game offensively, even if, you know, the clean pocket Brandon Allen finds Ricky Pearsall for a 60-yard touchdown, or George Kittle breaks one free, catch and run 60, 70 yards. Even if that happens for San Francisco, I think that the advantage just still stays in Green Bay's court, because no Nick Bosa, depleted 49ers defense. The Packers can just outlast the 49ers in that way. I think it's going to have to be a clock control game for the 49ers. They're going to have to take advantage of a Green Bay defense that hasn't been good over its past three games. They're going to shield their own defense, not only from time of possession, but also from play count. They're only going to have so many disguised looks on the back end to throw at Jordan Love to try to confuse him and to goad the interceptions that they need. They're only going to have so much of that before the Packers see enough of it to figure it out, and they start burning a 49ers defense that doesn't have Nick Bosa. It's a smoke and mirrors league if you don't have top-end talent. The 49ers are very reliant on Nick Bosa up front. So how many smoke and mirrors can Nick Sorensen and Brandon Staley create to try to goad the giveaways that they need from Jordan Love? I don't think that they have, 70 plays worth of that in this game. I don't think they have 60 plays worth of that in this game. They might have 30 to 40, like really, really good defensive plays, really good defensive cadences in this game to throw Jordan Love off track with the back end. And that might even be generous. So the more time that the offense can keep the defense off the field so they don't have to use that assortment of plays, the better, right? The 49ers hog the ball, control the ball, keep the defense on the field. So that way, when the defense does come out there, they're showing Jordan Love something that he hasn't seen yet. That's the narrow path to victory for the 49ers. It's going to be very, very hard. Like I said, if they play this game 10 times, the 49ers might win it once, might win it twice. They have to hope that it falls on that one or two times when they take the field at Lambeau tomorrow. If they do win, this team is 6-5, and I don't think they have to win in Buffalo. I don't think they will win in Buffalo. Even if they do have Brock Purdy, I would predict the 49ers to lose on the road to the Bills. The Bills have been really impressive, and 49ers would still be ailing at that point. Plus, they have to fly back to the Bay Area, Thanksgiving, back across country to Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's going to be coming off a bye week. That Buffalo game is setting up to be a loss for the 49ers. It would nearly shock me if they were able to win that game, even if Brock Purdy is back. So this is the one right here that we've long talked about as being the, okay, it's an NFC game. This is the one that you need to grab heading into Buffalo to make sure that Buffalo game is not a must win. If you're setting Buffalo up as a must win, you've already lost the war if you're the 49ers, right? So if they win in Green Bay, they don't have to win in Buffalo. They can happily move on from Buffalo at 6-6. And then it's game on. Then you've got the month of December plus the game against Arizona in January. You've got two home games. I think it's the Bears and then the Rams coming up after Buffalo at home, right? Then they head to Miami, back home to Detroit. Who knows where the 49ers would be by then. And then Arizona. It's a long, grueling battle, but this is the NFL. You've got to take it 1 week at a time. First things first, they keep things alive. They keep a realistic hope alive if they can find a way to scratch and claw their way for a victory in Green Bay. And I'll tell you, the path is extremely, extremely narrow for the 49ers. But if we're talking strategy, that's what they're going to have to do. Just imagine if they're able to go into Green Bay and win this game. The receipts would be very, very long that we could look at social media. It's like, oh, hey, It's not how the NFL works. Like you could, you have to let games play out. You absolutely do. You can look at every individual game and you could say, okay, the team is doing this well, the team is doing this poorly, but then you have to realize that every subsequent game is going to happen in its own ecosystem. And crazier things have happened, which is why they play the games. You guys have any questions? Go ahead and type them into the comment section. I have to check to see if my flight's still on time because I got to head down to San Jose to catch this flight direct to Green Bay. As I said, to open the show, coolest thing ever. Flying straight to Green Bay. It saves a massive, massive travel headache. So that's already a win. Are you tired of squeezing into stiff dress pants at that holiday party? This season, unwrap the gift of comfort with the Game Changer pants from Public Rec. The office pants that look like Monday, but feel like Sunday. Imagine clocking in while feeling as cozy if you were still in bed. With a soft hand feel and smooth drape, these pants are fan favorites for a reason. Whether you're closing deals in the boardroom, navigating holiday travel, or mingling at company parties, the Game Changers will keep you looking sharp and feeling great. Public Rec is the ultimate men's clothing brand for blending comfort and style seamlessly. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Stop suffering in regular pants and give the gift of comfort this holiday season. For a limited time only, our listeners get 20% off when you use the code Lombardi at checkout. That's 20% off with the code Lombardi at publicrec.com. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Give yourself or someone you love the gift of comfort this holiday. All right, guys. Thanks for watching. What if the 49ers beat the Packers? I do not think it's going to happen. But never say never.